"Gentlemen," says the young man, very solemn, "I will reveal it to you, for I feel I may have confidence in you. By rights, I am a duke." Jim's eyes bugged out when he heard that, and I reckon mine did, too. Then the bald head said, "No, you can't mean it." "Yes, my grandfather, eldest son of the Duke of Bridgewater, fled to this country about the end of the last century to breathe the pure air of freedom, married here and died, leaving a son, his own father, dying about the same time. The second son of the late Duke seized the titles and estates. The infant, real Duke, was ignored. I am the lineal descendant of that infant. I am the rightful Duke of Bridgewater. And here am I, forlorn, torn from my high estate, hunted of men, and despised by the cold world, ragged, worn, heartbroken, and degraded to the companionship of felons on a raft." Jim pitied him ever so much, and so did I. We tried to comfort him, but he said it weren't much use. He couldn't be much comforted. Said if we was a mind to acknowledge him, that would do him more good than most anything else, so we said we would if he would show us how. He said we ought to bow when we spoke to him and say, "Your Grace," or "My Lord," or "Your Lordship," and he wouldn't mind it if we called him plain Bridgewater, which he said was a title anyway and not a name, and one of us ought to wait on him at dinner and do any little thing for him he wanted done. Well, that was all easy, so we'd done it. All through dinner, Jim stood round, waited on him, and said, "Will Your Grace have some of this or some of that," and so on, and the body could see it was mighty pleasing to him. But the old man got pretty silent by and by. Didn't have much to say, and didn't look pretty comfortable over all that petting that was going on round that duke. He seemed to have something on his mind, so long in the afternoon he says, "Looky here, Bridgewater," he says, "I'm nation sorry for you, but you ain't the only person that's had troubles like that." "No, no, you ain't. You ain't the only person been snaked down wrongfully out in a high place." "Alas, no, you ain't the only person that's had a secret of his birth." And by jings, he begins to cry, "Hold, what do you mean?" "Bridgewater, can I trust you?" says the old man, still sort of sobbing. "To the bitter death." He took the old man by the hand, squeezed it, and says, "That secret of your being, speak." "Bridgewater, I am the late Dauphin." "Well, you betcha Jim and me stared this time." Then the Duke says,
"You are what?"
"Yes, my friend, it is too true. Your eyes is looking at this very moment on the poor disappeared Dauphin, Louis the 17th, son of Louis the 16th, and Marie Antoinette."
"You, at your age, no, you mean you're the late Charlemagne. You must be 600 or 700 years old at the very least."
"Trouble's done it, Bridgewater. Trouble has done it. Trouble has brung these gray hairs and this premature balditude. Yes, gentlemen, you see before you, in blue jeans and misery, the wandering exile, trampled on and suffering, rightful king of France." Well, he cried and took on so that me and Jim didn't hardly know what to do. We was so sorry and so glad and proud we had him with us, too. So we set in like we'd done before with the Duke and tried to comfort him. But he said it weren't no use. Nothing but to be dead and done with it all could do him any good, though he often said it made him feel easier and better for a while if people treated him according to his rights and got down on one knee to speak to him and always called him Your Majesty and waited on him first at meals and didn't set down in his presence till he asked him. So me and Jim set to majestying him and doing this and that and t'other for him and standing up till he told us we might set down. This done him heaps of good, and so he got cheerful and comfortable.